We have two sets of readings during these days. This is the Vigil Mass. It's a separate Mass, different prayers, different readings than tomorrow's Mass. It's nice we put all of those readings together because we see imagery that is used throughout. The first reading chosen by the Church for the Vigil Mass is this reference to David and the Ark. How does the Ark connect to this feast? We see within the Ark there were three items that prefigured what would be fulfilled in them. The tablets of the law, so the word of God, the command of God. Manna, some of the mysterious bread that the Israelites had gathered during their sojourn in the desert. And the budded rod of Aaron. Aaron's staff that blossomed as a way of affirming his high priesthood. So we see three things. All of them were prefiguring Jesus. Jesus who is the Word of God, Jesus who is the bread of life, and Jesus who is the eternal high priest. So this kind of typology that we use in studying Scripture, where we see in the Hebrew Scriptures, we see things that God was doing that prefigured how they would be fulfilled, the signs that would point to the fulfillment, that we would know the fulfillment when it comes, or after the fulfillment comes, we would see clearly how it was fulfilled in all of these ways, all of these passages, all of these moments, all of these seemingly strange events in the life of the patriarchs, details that in the moment seemed kind of probably insignificant in their notation, yet fulfilled in Jesus. And so if these three things be prefigured Jesus, then the vessel that contained them, the ark, would prefigure the one who would bear within her womb the fulfillment of all. This is how the early church fathers understood the typology of the Ark of the Covenant. And so we see things, anytime we see the Ark of the Covenant, and throughout all of Scripture, as we see it being made, for example, we see it being moved and transported, we see all of these things connected to it, it is understood that it is pointing to the fulfillment of Mother Mary, who would carry within her the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The gospel text, if you didn't take a look at the readings beforehand, you're probably pretty shocked. You're like, what? That's it? What does that have to do with anything, right? But it is a simple phrase. Blessed is the womb that carried you, blessed are the breasts that nursed you. I don't know about you, but it's funny. These are actually the school colors where I went to high school. And I had three older siblings that graduated from that high school ahead of me. So by the time I got there, so they, 9 years ahead of me, 7 years ahead of me, 5 years ahead of me, you know, family members, my last name, all of those things. So it's funny because when you show up, all of the teachers are like, oh, well, you're so-and-so's little brother. I expect great things from you. Oh, great, right? You know, or the vice principal sees you and says, I remember your older brother. You better keep yourself straight, Mr. Willett. I'm like, oh. And I haven't even done anything yet, right? But because of those that have gone before you, because of your flesh and blood, you can either be blessed or seemingly cursed. What Jesus is saying about his mom is not that she is blessed simply because she bore him in her womb, or that she fed him. She is blessed because she heard the word of God from the angel Gabriel's mouth, received it, believed it, and allowed the word of God to become incarnate and in flesh within her womb. This is why she is blessed. Not just simply because of flesh and blood, but because the invitation of faith was given to her and she responded to it. She is more blessed because of this than by flesh and blood. It's interesting because in some of the scriptures, New Testament writers, I think it's either Paul or maybe it's John or Peter, in one of their letters where they're saying, you know, we knew him according to the flesh before. I think it's John. We knew him according to the flesh before, but now we count all of that as not to know him in his resurrection. But the saying is, we knew him in his humanity. We walked with him. We had all of these things. But now we know him in the radical grace of his transformation and resurrection. And so all of that stuff before is for naught. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful. We would think, oh my gosh, I would love to be there. Yes, true. But those who experienced it and experienced him in his resurrection said everything before is just a shadow to what we experience in the fullness of grace. Today we celebrate this privilege to Mother Mary. The gospel tomorrow, it will be her Magnificat. She will make it very clear. Her soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Not her greatness, but the greatness of the Lord. Because the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. It is very important that we understand, my brothers and sisters, because we as Catholics are really good about honoring the saints. But you realize that apart from grace, none of the saints, in any of their greatness and any of their excellence, could have ever saved themselves. And the one that we hold in the highest esteem of us all, Mother Mary, she too required grace to enter into her life, to bring her into salvation, first in the Immaculate Conception, but then grace that was present all throughout her life. It's very important we understand this, my brothers and sisters. Because if not, when we come face to face with our humanity, we will simply say, well, I'll just try and squeak in, you know, try and get into that bottom window of purgatory, you know, and then kind of squeak in and my humanity and my brokenness and my inability. We are never saved in our humanity. It is always grace that we are operating in. And so the greatest thing that we can do is, rather than focus on our brokenness, is to focus on the grace in which we are invited into. To focus on the identity that is ours in Jesus Christ. To focus on the adoption of being beloved sons and daughters of God. You are a beloved son and daughter of God. Period. Do you operate in the truth of that, or are you still believing something other of who you are? The gift has been given, my brothers and sisters. We have to receive that gift and to operate in the truth of that gift. To operate in the victory that is ours in Him. To operate in joy and happiness of being loved and being known. As I said before, none of the saints in any of their greatness and any of their excellence could ever have saved themselves. The greatness is about a response to grace that was present in their life. Seeing it perfect their humanity, enter into their humanity, operating in that grace, It is a gift that is open for us all. The last part, it's a word of speculation. I don't know if that's good or not. But, you know, to ask the question, why this particular grace given to the Blessed Mother? Well, if Jesus rises from the dead and Jesus ascends into heaven, we might simply conclude, okay, sure, he's God, right? But what about us? No, my brothers and sisters, the affirmation of our Blessed Mother, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with grace, in untouched unity with God, she proclaims that God is her Savior. She is the first of us who required a Savior. And so her assumption into heaven, her sharing in this great grace, more so than anything, this is my speculation, is a sign of hope for you and for me. Not a hope in my humanity, not a hope in my virtue and my perfection, but a hope in grace. That the one who is filled with that grace to which we operate in has experienced the fullness of reconciliation and glorification with the Father. So too will we, through Him, with Him, and in Him. Amen.